This is the Friends of History Debating Society. I'm John Batchelor. Michael Yon has been at the Darien Gap all day, still is, technically. We're talking about the south of Panama. And he's taken a crew in to observe the gathering of those people coming through the gap and how they're being cared for at the Pan-American highway side of the gap. Michael, you've been here so many times. What is new? Good day to you.
Good day. We literally just got back to phone coverage, and I was rushing to get back and talk with you. And we've been out at Canamembrio. It's a village deep in the jungle, Imbra Indian village. And this is the village that most of the Chinese come out to after they've crossed through the Darien Gap. There was no Chinese there today. There was no migrante at all. There were no aliens in Canamembrio today. It took us hours to get out there. And the reason there's none out there is because nine Afghans died some days ago. They were coming ashore in two boats, and the boats capsized. And so nine died. And so that route is now closed temporarily because the seas are so rough. And so basically they drowned near Careto in the Kuna Indian side there on the Gulf side. And so, but yesterday we were out actually at Bajo Chiquito, which was completely full. Yesterday, about 3,000 came through, not just Chinese, but everybody, you know, it's who's who in the zoo, and including a lot of Afghans and Haitians and Venezuelans, of course, and people that were trying to hide their faces, and Haitians, you know, the whole works. I mean, so about 3,000 yesterday. But again, today we went to Canamembrio and zero came on that route due to the nine deaths the other day.
Any change in pattern, Michael? When they come in, they're greeted, they're given rest and sustenance, they can wash their clothes, there's medical attention. Are they still handed the map that tells them how to get to the American border?
Oh, yeah, they're still given maps. The routes are always evolving. They're always changing, like capillary flows that are out there, and arterial flows in some cases. But for instance, the nine deaths the other day will cause that route to shut down for a short time, but it doesn't shut down the flow. It just shuts down the flow on that route. The route will just reroute through other flows.
Sure.
So, but the bottom line is they do continue, the Panamanians, and not the Panamanians, but it's the IOM and the rest of the normal suspects, NRC, Norwegian Refugee Council, HIAS, which is the Hebrew Immigrant Aid Society, and all those, they continue to increase the size of the camps. They continue to increase the flows. So that's what's happening right now. We see clearly the capacity to bring people through is going to at least triple when they're finished with these new, let's say, improvements, if you want to call it that, of the various camps out there.
The buses, are they leaving regularly the way they were before in convoys?
Yeah, they remember about a year ago, even 6 months ago, they would leave in convoys, sometimes 20 or 30. Now they're not usually more than five. Sometimes it's just one or two or three. And the reason why is because they're more efficient if they just leave as soon as you're loaded, go, right? Instead of waiting for all the others to load, you know, like it would be like waiting for a bunch of airplanes to all take off at the same time at Atlanta Airport, right? Instead of just, and when you get loaded, line up and taxi off and fly away. So that's what they're doing now. They load up. The camps not only are bigger, but they're more efficient. And also the flows through the jungle are much shorter now. For instance, they found shorter routes to the jungle. The routes are safer than they used to be. They're faster. So you don't see nearly as many fatalities as there were 3 years ago when we were down here looking at it hard. And of course, I'm down here all the time. So, you know, so I'm watching this thing evolve over time. But so the flows are just, so again, in addition to the camps being much larger, they are far more efficient.
Right. And the center front, are they... are there a larger contingent of center fronts, smaller? Do you see them around?
Oh, yeah. I was just talking with the center front commander, about 4 hours ago out in the jungle at Canamembrio. He gave us a briefing, let us photograph the maps and whatnot. I'll send them to you. Actually, I'll just publish them on X later tonight when we finally truly get back. He showed us the numbers that were coming through Canam Embrio. But again, yesterday about 3,000 came through Las Blancas. None came through yesterday at Canam Embrio due to Afghan deaths.
The Afghans are new to me, Michael. I remember we talked about them over the years, but they were never a dominant number. Is it your perception that there are more than there were a year ago?
Oh, I see Afghans every time I'm out there. I mean, sometimes you'll see 100 in one day, even 200. So there's large numbers of Afghans. And that number is only increasing. And, you know, I saw some people, I can spot the Afghans pretty easily because I spent 2 years over there. And I saw some, you know, yesterday out at Las Blancas, or no, I mean, at Bajo Chiquito, and walked up to them and asked what language they spoke. I asked, did you speak Pashto? And they said, oh, no, Dari. So I said, oh, I was thinking they look like Hazars. And I said, are you Pashtun? I thought they were Hazar when they said that. But I said, are you Pashtun? And they said, no, we're Hazars. I didn't want to lead the question, but they look like it. The Hazar people look different. They look different than the Pashtun people. But so that was a group of about six Hazars. That it was hard to tell because they were kind of moving around. But a couple of them did not want to show their faces for whatever reasons.
And everyone is agreed that they're moving towards the U.S. border. Is that correct? Or are they also thinking about staying? Are there some who want to stay in Central America?
I haven't heard any recently say they want to stay in Central America. Some do stick to the pipes and stay in Central America, but mostly they want to go to the United States. They're pretty clear about that. And, you know, interestingly, we were just out at Puerto Limon, which is it's on the one of the rivers on the way to Canam Embrio, and there were two actual, you know, those sort of Alibaba Pay, the QR codes. You can actually, Chinese people can use those to pay at one. I mean, this is like totally remote village, you know what I mean? And they can use actually, and there's a Starlink on the roof of this remote. I got photos and videos of it. There's Starlink on the roof of this like a place that barely has electricity, and so you can pay using Starlink and your QR code, pay straight from your Chinese bank account right there in the remote Darien.
All right, well, let's concentrate on the Chinese nationals. Over the last 2 years, 22 and 23, we've seen a remarkable increase, and you noted that there were military age men dominant. There were families. Do you see more families now? Do you see women by themselves? Do you see families with children? Any change?
Actually, we saw some children in this group that looked like they were alone, and they said they were alone. And so that's quite interesting. Laura Loomer saw them, as did Masako Ganaha. There's a huge amount of children, but mostly it's military age males, and by far, but there are actually a lot of children, and often the children are with people that clearly are not their parents, and they don't look like they're even from the same race. I don't know where they're getting the children, but you know, nobody stops them. Nobody, right. You know, IOM, you know, and they just let them flow through.
How about middle-aged Chinese? Any significant, you know, grown-ups, men in their 40s and 50s?
There are some like that. Mostly there are, you know, I would say, you know, 80, I'm just throwing a directionally accurate number out there. I would say 80% of the Chinese coming through are military age males.
And are they carrying passports? Does anybody ask their origin, their names, any challenge to their identity?
Out here, they're still carrying their passports. By the time they enter the United States, many of them have thrown them away. And actually, they tend to burn them in burn barrels on the Mexican side of the border. Right. Not all of them, but many of them burn them on the Mexican side of the border. But here, they still have their passports.
All right. Is there talk among them, the center front would say, that we better hurry up because the border's closing? Anything like that, Michael?
No. In fact, what they do do talk about is how much they love Joe Biden. I watched Laura Loomer 2 days ago or 3 days ago now out at San Vicente camp, what we call China camp. She was interviewing a Somali guy, and he's 20 years old. He said he loves Ilhan Omar, and he wants to be like her and that sort of thing. His English was very good. And, you know, he liked Joe Biden because he recognized that Joe Biden has got the gate open for him. Actually, he seemed quite coached. And then there was another Iranian guy that showed up. The guy looked like some kind of bodybuilder, that sort of thing. Actually, he came across as a spy to me. But he came up. His English was extremely good. Also, he seemed highly coached. You know. Of course, these guys don't realize that, you know, when they come up to us, we talk with guys like that, with like them, almost every day, right?
Right.
So they kind of stand out to us when they pop out to us when they seem so highly coached. But the Iranian guy, he had a very shortly cropped haircut. He could have, you know, I've got photo and videos of him. He could have been a spy, could have been a military guy. I published one of the photos on X, and you should see the comments there. A lot of people are talking about, you know, the guy looks like Special Forces, that sort of thing.
It could be Hezbollah. He could be runaway. He could be a deserter. Yep. Anything's possible. All right. What we're seeing right now is, we'll call it the industrialization of the Darien Gap. How's that, Michael?
It's very industrialized.
And safety seems to be a priority for the people who are keeping the camp, and good for them. If the border's going to be open, we want people to arrive without any damage to their souls or their families. And right now, the Darien Gap is open for business. Michael Yon reporting with his colleagues from the Gap, having just come out of several of the entry points from the used-to-be 60-mile triple canopy gap jungle. I don't know whether that's accurate anymore. It's changing because there's just a great deal of traffic, and that'll change anything. This is the Friends of History Debating Society wishing Mr. Yon very good luck. I'm John Batchelor.